In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, am I on? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Afternoon, I think it's still afternoon rather than evening from me. It's great to have you with us. Now, I'm going to lead a lot of help for the first thing which we're going to do. What I need is all the young people to come and pick up Bob's Christmas to-do list. So what I want to find out from you is where we are, where you are in terms of your Christmas preparations. So there are 15 things down here, and I want the young people to come out and pick some of these up and give, and sit down with their parents if you've got your parents, or with grandparents if you've come with grandparents. But I want these to go out to everybody, every adult in the congregation. So can we have all the young people out here to give one out to anybody here who are? Come and take one, and take one back either to your parents or your guardians or somebody and do it. But we need everybody to get one, all right? Can you give some out? All right, there you are. There you are. There you are. Can we give one out to people at the back as well? Can people give out some out to the back? Can you give some out to the back? Brilliant, there you are, brilliant, there you are, there you are, well done. Okay, and then sit down and do it. Adults, if you're here on your own, you can do it as well. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, there you are, you have that one. All right, and see what we've got. All the things, we've got to find out where people are at in their Christmas to-do list. This is Bob's Christmas to-do list. There should be a pen somewhere near you, in a somebody in the rack in front of you, there'll be a pen, all right? And sit down with adults. You do this as well, please. There you are. There you are. So, have you done all these things? Have you done all these things? Have a chat. Yes. There you are. You can have two. Any other adults without one? Let's see who's got 15 out of 15 done. 1 minute. 1 minute. How are we doing? Okay. Let's see where we've got to in Bob's Christmas to-do list. So I think what we'll do is we'll put hands up, all right? Okay, hands up if you've still got to do these things, all right? Just to see where we're at. Okay? All right, who still has to buy a tree? Ah. Who still has to buy a turkey? All right. Who still has to send Christmas cards? All right. Who still has to find Christmas lights and decorations? See, lots of things to do. Who still has to untangle and repair the Christmas lights? Who still has to put up Christmas decorations? Those kind of follow if you haven't got out the first three, all right? Who still has to buy presents? Who still has to wrap presents? Who has to wear a Christmas jumper, still to wear a Christmas jumper? Good. Who is still to listen to cheesy Christmas songs? All right, okay. Who has sung carols? Still to do, this is the to-do list. The to-do list, all right? So hopefully you've all sung carols, we've just done that. Who still has to make a snowman? Who has made a snowman today? Yeah, there you are, a few people. Who's still to throw a snowball? Who's thrown a snowball? There you are. Who still has to catch a snowflake on their tongue? Who has caught a snowflake on their tongue today? Oh, look at that. Who's still to kiss under the mistletoe? Who has kissed under the mistletoe? Right, see you afterwards. Right. Well, a little bit of fun. There is still so much to do. I told the people the other day, I grew up in a family. We didn't put up any Christmas decorations until Christmas Eve. The tree went up at 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve. The presents, we did absolutely nothing until Christmas Eve. And I've survived. I'm nearly normal. All right? But there you are. It is easy amidst all the things that have got to be done to get carried away. There are a lot of things to do at Christmas. But I want to encourage us not to miss the point of Christmas. And it would be great if you had that reading in front of you from Luke chapter 2, this great story. Luke reminds us at the start of his gospel, his account of Jesus' life, that he's writing history. This is something that actually happened with the shepherds in the fields and the angels appearing to him. I want us to think about not missing the point of Christmas, but you may say to me, but I know all about the birth of Jesus. I know all about Mary, the wise men, shepherds, the angels, and so on. And thankfully, we still do remember that story. But it's a great thing to ask, isn't it? What use is a baby in answering the big questions of life? What use is a baby in answering the big questions of life? See, the danger is that we just keep Jesus as a baby. He's nice and adorable as a baby. But somebody here might say, well, what is the use of a baby in answering the big questions of life? Are we here by chance? Just an accident? Who am I? Am I just here by chance? Just a load of chemicals thrown together? Where am I heading? What does happen when we die? Who can deal with my sin and guilt? After all, we don't even live up to our own standards. The things that we say we want to do, let alone God's standards and laws. And who can fill the emptiness inside? Last Thursday was with some old college friends, and we get together every year, and we're now in our late 50s. I'm 58, a number of them were 59. And it was fascinating, very interesting, because they wanted to talk about what I'd devoted my life to. They're all about retiring or semi-retired. Some of them made lots of money. And what have I done with my life but tell people about Jesus? But it was fascinating. They wanted to talk about Jesus. Some were still very hostile to Jesus. But I sensed that as they retire, they're thinking, well, what is the point of life? Why am I here? After once you've retired, what are they going to do? Well, they'll do some good things, but they're going to play golf, some of them, for 20 years. So don't miss the point of Christmas, because we want to listen, don't we, to the angel's message about Jesus, who comes answering great questions that we have. Look at what the angel said. I'll read from verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So the first thing to say is, Jesus is great news, good news for everyone. It's not just something for a few people, religious people. This is good news of great joy for all people. And the next thing that I want us to see is that Jesus is God keeping his promises. It says there, verse 5, it's actually verse 4, because Joseph comes in the house and line of David. Verse 11, Bethlehem is the town of David. Look at that. Today, verse 11, in the town of David, a Savior is born. The town of David. Now, that's very significant because it's fulfilling a prophecy. Micah 5, verse 2, that out of Bethlehem will come one who will be ruler over Israel. Who can tell me where this is? Anybody? Alton Towers. Can you name the other one of these rides which isn't named? One is Smiler. What's the other one called? Oblivion. Oblivion. And many years ago, I said to my son Ben, I promise to take you to Alton Towers one day. I think when he was 5. He was 6. I didn't take him. He was 7, I didn't take him. He was 8, I didn't take him. He reminded me every year. He got to the age of 17, and he said, you promised to take me to Alton Towers. And I kept my promise. We went. He was 17. It was absolutely brilliant. I went on Oblivion about 10 times. It was absolutely fantastic. Now, the point is, we forget to keep promises. We can't keep promises sometimes. We won't keep promises, perhaps rash promises that we make. But God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. The things that he says he will do, he does them. So think about those things that I've just talked about. In the Old Testament, the bit before the New Testament, before Jesus comes, God makes lots of promises. Are we here by chance? Well, God says, actually, that the people who put their trust in him, he will be their God. He's already their God because he's made them. But he wants to make people, if you like, his special people. And I will be, and they will be my people. It's a promise from the Old Testament. Another part of the Old Testament, the one who's going to come and be born is Emmanuel, God with us. He promises as well in the one who comes, he will be the one who'll deal with sin. I'll remember their wickedness. I'll forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. And look at this, what he says. He promises that he will swallow up death forever. That great final thing in our lives. And he also promises this in the Old Testament. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in truth. So lots of promises that God makes. And God always keeps his promises. So this Christmas time, don't miss the point. This is the first thing I want to see, that God sends his son Jesus to answer the big questions. He's fulfilling promises. He's keeping promises. This is a very simple one, isn't it? Today in the town of David, a Savior is born. Something he promised. It's one way that we can, if you like, see the truthfulness of what God has done in Jesus. God always keeps his promises, all those things he's promised to do that answer in Jesus all those questions that we have. Will we listen and respond rightly with all those things to do? There's so many things to do, aren't there, this Christmas time? But will we see Jesus for who he really is and respond rightly? I'm going to come to a bit more in a moment, but let's stand and sing about the little town of Bethlehem that's prophesied about these 1, 2, 3. Do you want to come up? Up you come. Come on. All right. You'll love this. You in the red. You hang on there, right? Because I'm going to use you in a moment, all right? So, now, I've got... Oh, look. So I want you to pick a present, all right? Now, be careful about the choice that you make, all right? So have a look, all right? So which one do you want? Okay, you're going to take that one. You're going to take that one. You're going to take that one. All right, do you want to unwrap? Okay, unwrap your presents. All right, so you've picked what's glossy and looks impressive. All right, beautifully packaged, nice bags. We'll have the bags back. Okay. Okay. What's that? Oh, just hold it up so people can see. Look, oh. Oh dear, look. All right, and oh, it's a large toilet roll. Do you want to take those off? Off you go. You did pick the ones that were impressive. Man in red, come up, please. You see, you didn't pick the very unimpressive present. Do you want to take, no, not the tray. Do you want to take, yeah. Do you want to have a look? Oh.
Oh, yeah.
There you are. You see, there it is. A pound coin. There you are. You can have that. You can go and sit down, all right? Okay. Yeah, you tell him there's your present. Your present. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, the point, isn't it? It's very easy to miss the point. It's very easy to be interested in what's glossy and impressive. Because Jesus comes, God's son comes, and it's not impressive. He comes as a baby. In fact, that is extraordinary and wonderful that God's son, who is fully divine, takes human flesh and comes into this world. So easy, isn't it, to miss what is most important. Just have a look at what the angel says to these shepherds. Don't miss the point. Here it is, that Jesus is the Savior that we all need. Verse 11, do you see that? Do you see what he says? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior, a rescuer. I need some more volunteers. How many do I need? I think I need 7 to come up. Because here, I've got some pictures of people who need to be rescued. And I've got pictures here of who might rescue them. All right? So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think I've got 8, actually. So come up to the front. Right, I'm going to give you one of these. And you've got to put it by the situation that needs a rescuer. So I'll tell you what, because you can't see, we've got somebody who's injured on a hill, right? We've got a car broken down. We've got an avalanche. We've got a tree that's fallen across a road. We've got a ship that's sinking. We've got a burst pipe in a road. And sadly, we've got a man who looks very ill. Looks like he might be having a heart attack. Okay? So I'm going to give you one, and you've got to put it by the right one, all right? So, see if you can put it by the right one, all right? There you are. Okay, now then, with them two, some mate, you could put two. That's a tough one. Do you think you can think about that one? There you are. There you are. Okay, there you are. One more. Oh, I've got two more. Who else wants to come up? Come up, we come. All right, because some of them might have two, all right? Okay, can we put them by the right picture? All right, who needs to be rescued? All right, okay, let's see, all right? So put them underneath, all right? Put them underneath, all right? There you are. So he needs, that's good. We've got one done. You can go and sit down. Well done. Helicopter. Good. Excellent. Brilliant, that man. Well done. Who needs to be rescued? Oh, come on. Yeah, well done. I'm sorry. All right. Oh, a helicopter is going to rescue there. All right. Helicopter's going to rescue there. Okay. Well, it could be. Who's got the person who cuts up trees? Yes. There you are. They could do that. All right. Who else? Oh, now that's interesting. Have a think. All right. If you've done it already, go and sit down. If you've done yours, go and sit down. All right. Who hasn't done one? Oh, now. Oh, look. So that's the lifeboat. Where will the lifeboat go? All right. Put the lifeboat. All right. That's good. Now that is quite a tough one, actually, because we've got a St. Bernard dog. All right. Now, this might be a tough one, all right. We've already got two helicopters here rescuing them from the avalanche, which is perfectly fine thing to do. We might put the helicopter there underneath the man who needs to be injured. Do you know what St. Bernards do? Do you know who they rescue? Who do they rescue? People in avalanches, yes. I don't think they go out with a great big cask of brandy around their necks, but that's right. Good. Good. Oh, we got one more. Oh, brilliant. Now, which is the one which hasn't got? Can you see? Which one hasn't got one there? Look, that's a plumber. Where's one with a lot of water? Can you see a lot of water? A burst pipe. Yeah, we need to be rescued by the plumber. Well done. Okay. I was quite chuffed about that one, thinking about different ones, being rescued by the St. Bernard. There you are, in the avalanche. But there you are. We understand the idea of rescue, don't we? People need to be rescued, different types of rescuer. Come. Some questions. The person, the boat that's going down might be rescued by the helicopter or the lifeboat. Look what it says Jesus is. Jesus is the Saviour, the rescuer that we all need. Don't miss the point about who Jesus is. He's the rescuer, the Savior that God has promised. God that says that every person needs to be rescued by Jesus. Why is that? Because we're all sinners and we deserve God's judgment. It's wonderful, isn't it? The Bible's absolutely crystal clear that every single one of us is a sinner. We're all going to face judgment one day. We all need somebody to rescue us from that judgment. And right at the start of Jesus' life, the angels say to the shepherds, this is the Saviour, the one who's going to be born. And God's promised that all the way through the Old Testament. Who's this? Put your hand up if you think you know who this is. Another picture. Who thinks they know who this is? Do you know? Well done. Well done. It's Prince George. Prince George, a baby born to rule. After Charles, after William, he's third in line to the throne. Perhaps a baby born to rule. Jesus is the baby born to rule God's kingdom, which will last forever. Don't miss the point about who this Jesus is. Do you notice again what it says in the words of the angel? Just there in verse 11 again. Sorry, in verse 10 actually this time. Verse 11, sorry. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Lord that everybody should obey. Christ our Lord. Christ the Lord. And Christ is a title, a job description, if you like, God's chosen king, who's sent in to bring in God's kingdom, fulfilling all God's promises. So how are we going to respond to this, Jesus? Can I plead with all of us not to put Jesus back in his box after Christmas? He is the Saviour and the Lord. Please don't miss that. At the front here, we have our crib scene with the baby Jesus. This Jesus grew up to show in every way that he was indeed the Saviour and the Lord. In every way he demonstrated he was God's son, that he was the Lord. He did extraordinary miracles. He calmed a storm with just a few words. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And at Christmas time, we have the baby Jesus in the baby manger. And a few days after Christmas, we put the baby Jesus back in his box. And we put him in a cupboard, don't we? Can I ask, is that what we do with Jesus? And yet this Jesus is the Saviour and the Lord whom God has sent. And actually, to ignore Jesus is to continue in sin and disobedience to God. It's one of the hardest things to talk about at Christmas, to admit that we are sinners. But this illustrates, isn't it, the way we treat Jesus. Do we ignore him? Do we just get him out at Christmas? Or do we trust him as Saviour and obey him as Lord? So can I say at this Christmas time, make this Christmas a Christmas of great joy, because Jesus comes answering the big questions, the great need that we have of forgiveness for our sins, for the way we treat Jesus, in amongst all the things, other things that we do of disobeying God and breaking his laws. Make this Christmas one of great joy. Receive him as your Saviour and obey him as your Lord. It may be that there are people here who say, well, what's the evidence for all of that? Well, read on in the Gospel, in Luke's Gospel. Find out more. On Thursday, these friends of mine, there was one particular person who was vehement, very angry with me. Couldn't work out. I see him once a year, he's a good friend. I was talking about Jesus. I don't know what he wanted to do because he was asking me questions. And I said to him, have you ever, as an adult, read a gospel account of Jesus? He'd said to me, there is no more evidence for Jesus than for the value of Bitcoin. Don't worry if you don't know what Bitcoin is. And the point that he was making is that there is no evidence for Jesus. There's no value in Bitcoin either, but let's leave that aside. All right, that's the point he was making. And I said to him, have you as an adult ever read a gospel of Jesus? And he said, no, I've never have. It's fascinating. At that point, he just fell silent because he never examined the evidence. So can I encourage you to think about the person of Jesus? Come and join us on our Christianity Explore course after Christmas. Why not make this a Christmas of great joy and receive Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord?